going to take a few minutes just to share some stuff this morning. This morning, as Claire mentioned before, we're very excited that we believe that this autumn season that God has, well, for a number of, not just recently, but before, spoken to us a lot about growing. And as church, we want to put things in place to do that. So you'll know that this week starts some of those things. So on Tuesday and Wednesday, we've got Freedom in Christ. I think both courses are pretty full, so that's going to be, we're really excited about that. Alpha will start in a couple of weeks' time. Starting this Thursday as well, Going Deeper Bible Teaching Series. And all of these things are because we believe that God said to us that he wants us to grow. And that's true for all Christians, I know, but we just felt very specifically that God was speaking that to us as well. And this morning, myself and my good friend Gary, we're just going to share two or three things. Well, probably a few more than two or three, but not too many more. Because we wanted to set a bit of a context for what it means to grow. The Bible obviously talks about growing. There's a lot of agricultural illustrations, but three very quick scriptures. Philippians 1 verse 9 says this: I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. 1 Colossians says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And the one perhaps I like best, 2 Peter 3 verse 18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to do. The reason I like this is because, as well as growing in knowledge, Peter talks here about growing in the grace as well. And I don't know about you, I want my mind to be fed, I want to understand things greater, but I want to, perhaps more than that, I want to know growth of God's grace in my life. The very essence of who God is, that grace of God. I want to see, and that's part of what we want to see as we grow together. So this morning, I'm just going to take a few moments to talk about what it means to create an environment for growth. And I guess my first question is, in this room this morning, who wants to grow? Okay, that's good. We can carry on. Because I'm pretty sure that actually if the answer to that question is no or I'm not sure, I think it's pretty sure that actually we won't grow. Because if we don't want to grow, it's not something that happens by accident. If you think about that in terms of children as they grow up, I've not tried it, but if you don't feed them, they don't grow, do they? Same with us spiritually. And so we're going to take a moment or two. The gardeners amongst us and the agricultural experts will tell us that in the same way that plants need the right conditions to grow, so do we. So, yeah, need the right place, the right soil, and the right climate to grow. You won't find orange trees growing where there isn't any sunshine.
Same in the animal world. You won't find polar bears in Africa. And you don't find elephants in Antarctica. It's not the right place for them. But animals, like plants, need these right conditions to grow. They need food. Yeah? Just said that. We need drink. Protection. Encouragement. Nurture. Correction. We know, Ron. And the ability to reproduce. All necessary parts. Human animals, like all the other animals, need these, but we need them spiritually as well as physically. And the physical world, I've heard it said, is a reflection of what's going on in the spiritual world. Yep.
So we've got just a small list of things that we we reckon are part of this right place, this climate that will help us to grow. So if you're a new Christian here this morning, we know some people have started that journey very recently, then you might want to take a notepad. If you're not a new Christian, then this might be a healthy checklist for you. We've got, there may be more, but we came up with 8 things, didn't we, Gary?
Yeah.
So, number one, knowing the Word of God. This is a core value, I guess, of who we are as church. It's not just part of the environment. But actually, if we don't have God's Word in our lives, we're not going to go anywhere. It's a central part of the Freedom in Christ course. It's central to the Alpha course. And it's obviously pretty central to a Bible study and looking deeper into God's Word. We believe that if you want to follow Jesus, it's a vital part of knowing Him. 2 Timothy says, all scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training and righteousness, which sounds like a good basis for growing, I think. So the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. There's lots of other things in the Bible. The Bible says it's a lamp to our feet. It's alive and active. And, you know, these are the kind of things that I've sat and heard a lot of people say so many times, but every now and then you get a light bulb moment. The fact is, the Bible that we read isn't just another book. It's alive, it's active. It has that ability to speak to us into our very lives and situations. And it's one of those things that all of us know, and yet sometimes we allow it to become a little bit more dusty than perhaps it should. It has the ability to transform us, change us, and speak directly into our lives. And I know a lot of you feel passionate about God's Word, but this is number one. Let's make sure that it's part of our environment.
Number 2 on the list, prayer. Now, I'm not going to spend a long time on this because we've had at least 2 preaching, teaching sessions on prayer. But just a quick summary that prayer is time spent in conversation with God. Yeah? Are we all up for that? Yeah. I wonder how we share that conversation now. I would say the most important part for growth is listening rather than talking. And I've heard it said many times that prayer should be 90% listening and 10% talking. How often is it the other way around? I love this quote. I hadn't seen it before because I like this particular version because most only mention men. But this is from The Message. Since prayer is at the bottom of all this, what I want mostly is for men to pray. Not shaking angry fists at enemies, but raising holy hands to God. And I want women to get in there with the men, in humility before God, not primping before a mirror or chasing the latest fashions, but doing something beautiful for God and becoming beautiful doing it. Yeah. And then as Wesley said, I think it was Wesley, the more I do for God, the more time I need to spend in prayer. And how many of us, if we're all challenged, will say, I don't spend enough time praying. Yeah. Okay. Word, prayer, that's food and drink. What other things do we need for growing?
Okay, so as Gary says, the word and the prayer, and these aren't just rules that are forced upon us. I don't know about you, but if I've agreed that I want to grow, then these are things that I want to do. I want to read my Bible and I want to pray. Okay, number 3. What do we need in our environment? I would say this is really important, that I want in my environment, I want it to be faith-filled. If we're going to grow, trusting in God is the foundation. It's the key of living our lives for Him. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And in Hebrews 4, verse 2, Paul says, the word did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. The truth is that we can sit and we can hear a lot of truth. We can hear it week after week. But actually, truth doesn't come into our life just by osmosis. It's not that it just wafts over you and then it lands in our lives. But actually, truth comes through faith. I like this quote. It says, everything in the kingdom comes by grace, but through the avenue of faith. Faith is something that we have to activate. It involves us doing something. And alongside faith, I put stay positive. Those of us with kids will know that our kids function, operate, live a lot better in environments where they're surrounded by positivity. And I think we do too. And so I found two or three little quotes. It's always better to celebrate what's good than complain about what's bad. Encouragement is like oxygen, everyone needs it. And a friend of ours said this, you get the weak you speak. Our words are very powerful. And I know it's not about, it's not magic, you don't just declare something and then something happens. But I really believe, and the Bible says how powerful our words are. The things that we speak about ourselves, the things that we speak about our family, the things that we speak about one another actually make a difference. God's word created the world. Our words create our worlds.
Yeah, that was good. Some of it's about having the right people around us as well. Getting into the right company. It can help us grow. Who are the right folk, though? You know, people we can trust, aren't they? And as Matt said, people who encourage us. As he's also said, children thrive in encouragement, but they perish in discouragement. Hebrews 3:13 tells us, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. In that positive environment, we want the people around us who are positive as well. Yeah? People who speak positive things into us. The world speaks plenty of negative in. Let's get rid of it in our own environment. Let's start speaking positively. We'll build one another up. Because if we don't be positive, if we don't encourage, if we don't have folks we can trust around us, and we choose the other kind of people, then we ain't going to grow.
Number five, remain teachable. I don't know about you, but as I get older, I realise that actually without trying very hard, become less flexible. I don't know at which point we move from being young to middle something to old. I don't know how that works in that. I don't know what the scale is. But I've realised that actually the more times I say things like, in my day, I don't think I've said that yet, or in the old days, the more times I say that, that must mean that I've moved somewhere along that scale. And actually, I think it's just something that happens naturally. You know, as we get older, we've had a bit more time, we've experienced a few things, we've probably come to the conclusion of the things that we like and the things that we don't like, the ways that we like things to be done and the ways that we don't like things to be done. We've reached our conclusion on that. And actually, I think it then becomes more of a challenge to us to actually continue to remain teachable and to remain flexible. The Bible doesn't put an age limit on humility, does it? But I think, therefore, as we get older, that becomes a challenge to us, because if we're not flexible, and we don't talk about it a lot, but I think being non-flexible is often aligned to pride, because we think we know best, we think we've made it. And most of us wouldn't talk in those terms, but I think it's a challenge to us as we get older. You know, there's a lot of good examples around even in this room, of people who remain teachable. And I won't pick too many people out. I will just mention one person who's flown out to Malawi, one of our elder members of the congregation who left on Friday for Malawi. I loved it when he stood in front of all of us and said, I've been a Christian for whatever it is, 60 or 70 years. And he went on the Freedom in Christ course and he said, I just learnt things that I'd never seen before. There was things that I'd never understood about what it means to follow Jesus. And I thought, John, you are such an excellent example that I want to follow, that when I'm your age, there's still opportunities for me to be teachable.
Part of that is having the right kind of heart attitude. What does it mean? Being flexible, yes. Being kind. Being gentle, being humble, but most of all, remaining open. Yeah. Remaining all of those things, not just being them at one moment in time, but remaining in all of those. Please note, this is a soft heart and probably a hard head. Not a hard heart and being soft in the head.
Very good. Number seven. Number seven, embrace the tough times. I think if we're going to grow, this is something that is really important. You know, you've heard people say that we grow more in the fertile ground of the valley than on the tops of the mountains. And I think that is so true. And as Gary and I were talking the other day, Pam pointed out that in the winter season it looks like nothing much is happening for trees and plants. But actually, it's very important during those seasons for developing roots. I think it's true that in the tough times, most people run. We either run away from God or further into his arms. The smart thing to do is to make the choice before the tough times come of what we're going to do. Because on the day when the tough times come, we might not always make the right decision. But if we've determined long before that we're going to live our lives and we're going to run into the arms of God, then I think that is a good place to be. Claire's already mentioned that today is Ashwood News Day. And I'm just going to brag a little on my mum. Because in the tough times, we know who we are because of what God has done in us. And you'll be able to read, I challenge you to read it without a tissue. But you'll be able to read in the Ashwood News a brilliant article that Mum's written. And I'm just going to share you a snippet because it just illustrates this point. And she's writing to Ashwood Church, and it says, your response to Graham's illness and now to his death is a wonderful demonstration of God's family, the church, at its very best. And the most fitting of tributes to Graham's life and work, I'm very grateful and proud. We've walked a hard road together, and it's tough journeys that transform us most into what God needs us to be for the next phase. And sometimes after we've walked through tough times, we can look back and see it. But my mum is an unbelievable woman, and even in the tough times, she will talk about the transformation that's taking place. This is a very special lady.
And the last one is listening to things we don't want necessarily to hear. We've already talked about keeping the right company. And part of that keeping the right company is the correction that comes. Being accountable. you know, in the plant world, which we've mentioned earlier, plants often need a stick to hold them up. It's actually called a tutor. Interesting name, isn't it? Children need correction to avoid dangers. You don't let them stick their fingers in a plug, do you? Put a cover on it. Or you wrap their fingers before they get... No. And we need a good friend, too, who can correct us. I'm going to have to look round for another one. But the Bible also tells us I correct and discipline everyone I love. And sometimes it's done through friends. A friend who corrects us is speaking godly words to us. That's being accountable. It's not actually a worldly concept. You know, people don't like being told they're wrong. None of us do if we really analyse it. But it's very helpful to us. If we take that list of eight things all together, we're describing what it is to be a disciple. And the best definition of a disciple is an apprentice, which is a relationship between master and learner. It takes time. Learning and growing are processes. They don't happen overnight. So let's start on or keep on the road of growing. Yeah? Wherever we're at now.
One of the things that Steve says on the Freedom in Christ course is it's possible to become an old Christian without becoming a mature Christian. That's good. And hopefully we're doing this anyway, but we wanted to just draw our attention to a few things this morning that hopefully as church, as family together, we'll establish good habits in our lives so that we're on a journey or a process that leads us to being mature Christians. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, "When I was a child, I acted like a child. And as long as we're children, we're subject to the elementary things of the world." He was talking about attitudes and feelings and emotions. When we live as a child in that way, the elementary things run our lives. How many people know that we don't measure maturity by how tall we are or how many grey hairs we have, but we measure maturity in terms of how we, this is what Paul says, how we think, how we talk, and how we reason, not by our emotions or our feelings. We didn't say it at the start, and Gary's just mentioned it, but one of the key questions, of course, is what are we trying to grow? We're not trying to produce robots here. We don't want to all look the same as one another. But Ephesians 4 answers the question. It says, "Instead, we'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." It's not even all about us growing to be the same height either, is it? We won't all go to Pakistan and take leadership conferences. I don't think, anyway. Sorry, I didn't want to presuppose anything. But actually, my prayer as I pray this week and as I do my early morning walk every day is that actually within Ashwood we're going to become bigger people. And I want to be the man that God's called me to be, and I want you to be for you that God's called you to be. For some of us, that looks like being part of that ends up being the best husband I can be, the best wife I can be. It's not comparing myself to anyone else, it's being the best that I can be. For the people who've just walked in the room, and me, the best sons, the best daughters that we can be. That's important. One more thing. In these seasons where we're aware of the eternal perspective, I was reminded of a song that we sang over 20 years ago that was called this: I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation. Here's a benchmark of how old you are. Anybody remember that song? I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation. Mark Altruggy, 1989. And one of the lines in that song was, I want to give my life to something that will last forever. And as we enter this growing season, I want to determine to live my life to something that will last forever, ever, that is bigger than ourselves. And if you want to pray that this morning, I wonder if you just stand and join with me. Kids are back, it's great. We're family together. Kids, we're just going to pray. We're talking about growing. You can join in with our prayer if you like as well. Why don't we just reach out to God? Just agree together that we are His people and we're ready to grow. We want to be teachable. We want to learn and know and walk in the knowledge of God's word. We want to have the right people around us. We're committing to spend time praying to our Father in heaven, not because we have to, but because we want to. It's a delight. We want to live in an environment of faith, expectation, positive. With soft hearts, a teachable spirit. Well, Lord, we are your people. We're grateful to be family together. And Lord, as we finish our time here this morning, I want to pray that individually we'll create an environment for growth in our lives. I want to pray that you'll help us to identify, for some of us, the small things, for some of us, the bigger things, but to put habits in place in our lives that will move us forward, that will grow us into being the men and women and children of God that you called us to be. Lord, as we, in this season, we see the eternal perspective, we remind ourselves of what it means to serve you and the thin veil between our life here on earth and our eternal glory with you. And Lord, with so many shouts for our attention, so many areas and ways for us to waste our time, our life, our resources, I want to declare to you that for me personally, for my church, I want to give my life to something that will last forever. I want to give myself to the things of the kingdom in our communities and as we connect with communities around the world. We thank you for stories this morning of lives that have changed communities the other side of the world. And Lord, we thank you for stories in this room for lives that are changed here in this place because people invested in us, because people spoke to us, people spoke into our lives, people were willing to say the things we didn't want to hear so that we could be transformed and changed into the men and women of God that you called us to be. We honour those that have gone before, And we choose to follow you again today, Lord Jesus. We realize we haven't signed up for the easy road, but it is the only road. There's no other road we want to be on. Would you help us, Lord, as family together? Fill us again with your Holy Spirit, we pray. We want to serve your purpose in our generation. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, Amen.